Our second reading then, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. Well, by our recent standards, we have a short chapter, 37 verses. Verse 1 of chapter 19, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be, the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Thalassar? Where is the king of Harmat and the king of Arpad and the king of Sepharvaim and of Hena and of Eva? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word of the Lord that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Thou, whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed, and against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof. And I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, and into the forest of Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. Hast not thou heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass, that thou shouldest be to lay waste to fences, cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thine abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards, and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall take yet again root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer his sons smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we have what seems to be two different interludes. We have the first interlude when Rabshakeh jumps up on the wall and speaks to the nobles and the people that are within earshot. In the second piece of it, Rabshakeh sends a letter to Hezekiah because he's had to depart and go be with his king at another battle at Libna, first Lachish and then Libna. So he's had to leave troops there outside of Jerusalem and go with other troops of his with his master and go fight those battles to the south. So that's what's going on here thus far. In the first instance, Rabshakeh has been on the wall. The messengers come to Hezekiah and they speak to him audibly and they tell him what Rabshakeh has said. And that's when they come with their clothes torn. And Hezekiah does the same. He rent his clothes, and then he sent these men to Isaiah the prophet to inquire of the Lord what they should do. So notice that, number one, what we said in the last chapter, that the policy of appeasement did not work. They came yet again. And then this time, Hezekiah does not develop that policy of appeasement. He doesn't send back to Rabshakeh and say, tell us what you want. Instead, what they do is they go to the prophet to hear what God has to say about this latest threat. So that's verses 1 through 5. Then in verses 6 through 14, they are to go back. Well, sorry, not to go back. Isaiah tells the messengers to go back to Hezekiah and to tell him not to be afraid. I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So it says that Rabshakeh in verse 8 returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. And so he had to go and help out. And so he has to depart, but he wants Judah to remain under threat. He wants Jerusalem to remain under threat. So he sends Hezekiah a letter. Don't think me withdrawing to Lachish means that I'm not coming back to level your city and take Jerusalem too. And that's the thrust of verses 8 through 13. That what Rabshakeh does here is he sends him a letter instead of a messenger, because he's not there. He's been the spokesman, as it were. And so he sends that letter to Hezekiah. And what does Hezekiah do with that second letter? This time he does not go to Isaiah. He goes directly into the temple and he lays the letter out before the Lord. No secrets here, Lord. This is what we have been told. This is what we have heard. What shall we do? Of course, what we have heard is the word we used in the last hour. Looking at the previous chapter, we said the word blasphemy is used, because that's exactly what Rabshakeh spoke. And the Lord also uses that word blasphemy when he speaks about what Assyria has done. So notice Hezekiah's prayer in verse 15. O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, and so on. You know, it's an interesting thing. There are two things here that I find fascinating. The first thing is that, you know what Rabshakeh has been doing, right? He's been doing God's work all over the countryside, and he doesn't even realize it. He's been destroying idols and burning down temples and taking out false gods. Well, can we say then that even through this difficulty of this flood of Assyria, right? Isaiah chapter 8. This flood of Assyria that's going over the whole land. Notice that the cry of Isaiah in Isaiah 8 here is heard. Thy land, O Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel's land is not going to be taken away. Emmanuel's land is going to be preserved. And what's going on in all the rest of Emmanuel's land? False gods are being driven out by the king of Assyria and by his agent, Rabshakeh. Notice Hezekiah's singular focus upon the glory of God and casting himself upon the mercy of God and his nation. And don't we want magistrates like that? Don't we want presidents and vice presidents and governors and mayors and sheriffs and chiefs of police and district attorneys and so on that will cast themselves and their labors, their civil labors, upon the Lord? Well, that is indeed something to pray for. The second thing that is so interesting about this passage is that Hezekiah goes into the temple and lays out the letter before the Lord and prays, and Isaiah answers him, who wasn't there to hear the prayer. In other words, God whispers in Isaiah's ear what Hezekiah prayed in the temple, although Isaiah was not near him. Isn't that great? And the answer, of course, is a comfortable answer. It's an answer that has to do with God making use of the king of Assyria and all his labor, and then, when he's done with him, casting him out, as Isaiah will write in Isaiah chapter 10. So, notice, by thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord. You know, you've said, I've digged and drunk strange waters with the sole of my feet. I've dried up rivers of besieged places. Oh, my campaigns are all over the world. There hasn't been a single nation that's been able to rise up. I drink the waters of strange nations, and so on. This is the boast of Assyria. But notice, but they are reproaching the Holy One of Israel. And so God then answers, hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times how I have formed it, and now how I have brought it to pass, that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Oh, you've gone out very proud of yourself. You're only doing my work. God says. I've raised you up, I've sent you out, and you're bringing idolatrous cities and lands into ruinous heaps. You're doing my work. There's no thank you there, because that's what he ought to do for the Lord, right? So, I know thy abode, I know thy going out and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. So while you have done my work, that which I have determined, you have done it with a snarl toward me, the Lord says. You haven't submitted yourself. That work that you've done, it is of no value to me because of your heart against me. And so I'm going to put a hook in your nose and a bridle in your lips and take you back home to where you belong. And then it says, this shall be a sign unto thee in verse 29. And I think there that the Lord turns his attention away from the king of Assyria to his own people. Right? And so you need to be concerned about these next couple of years. But you're going to plant and you're going to grow and you're going to reap. You're going to plant vineyards and you're going to eat fruits. And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. And notice the Isaianic phrase, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. This is a messianic promise here. It's this prophet, whoever this prophet is that is writing here, I don't know who it is. But this prophet is writing in cahoots with Isaiah, and he knows Isaiah, and it is that Isaianic phrase that he uses there. So, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he'll not come into this city. He's not going to shoot an arrow. He's not going to come before it, not with shield. He's not going to cast a bank against it by the way that he came. That same way he shall return. Children, you know what it means, cast a bank against it? You know what that means? So if a city was locked up tight and had a 20-foot high wall, what you'd have to do is you'd have to make a ramp, a bank, to get up over that wall, and that's how you would invade the city. He's not going to do that. He's not going to be here that long, the Lord says. And so what we read, it came to pass in that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, 185,000 men were dead in their tents, waiting for Rabshakeh to return to besiege the city. Interestingly, I believe this is commemorated in Psalm 76. It's a psalm for the sons of Korah. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There, where? Zion. In Zion, he brake the arrows of the bow, the shield, the sword, and the battle. Selah, thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast even into a dead sleep. There are some that have ascribed that to the Red Sea because of the mention of chariots and horses. But did you note that this word goes forth out of Zion, out of Jerusalem? And so this is one of those songs that Hezekiah would call my songs. We will sing my songs in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Because this is a song that was written by one of the sons of Korah. A song or psalm of Asaph, one of the Asaphites that lived in that generation until the days of Hezekiah. We remember that Hezekiah had a college of prophets from the book of Proverbs, which we'll get to later in our study of that book, where it says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon that the men of Hezekiah copied out. You'll remember that in your reading. So I believe that Hezekiah had a college of prophets, and that one of them was a psalm writer, one of the sons of Asaph, and he wrote Psalm 76 in commemoration of the day of the morning where 185,000 soldiers were found dead in their tents outside of Jerusalem. With that then, let's stand and continue praising God.